There are so many gorgeous places in Wisconsin where you can enjoy nature and marvel at the beauty of the landscape, the wildlife, and, of course, our many rivers and lakes. And one great way to get out is in a kayak, or maybe it's in a canoe. And our guest has lots of great advice to share in that area, whether you're a brand new paddler or maybe you've been several hundred hours on the water. Darren Bush is the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. Darren, always great to see you. Thanks for coming by.
Always great to be here.
How did you become a paddler? That's a story I've asked you before, but I think it's always worth repeating.
Boy, you know what? I grew up in California through no fault of my own. I didn't have much to say about it. My parents were there when they had me. I never really felt very comfortable there, except at one place, and that was at the beach. So I always loved being around the water. And when I moved to Wisconsin 31 years ago, I was surrounded by water. It's one of the reasons I moved here. Now, it wasn't salty and there weren't waves, per se, but I love water. And so I started doing what people around here do, which is paddle canoes and kayaks.
Yeah.
Then I went to upstate New York for grad school and got into whitewater because that's what's up there. Mm-hmm. And then when I finished grad school, I said, I want to move back to Madison. That's where I want to raise my family. Mm-hmm. And got into the paddling around here, and pretty soon things happened.
And pretty soon, here you are owning Rutabaga Paddle Sports.
Here we are, yeah.
And you've been doing it a long time, and the Canucopia is coming up, and certainly we're going to spend some time talking about Canucopia. It's billed as the world's largest paddle sport exposition, and I would certainly believe that after having spent many an hour there in past years. How did it get started, and what has it grown into?
Well, it got started with a couple of trailers in front of the store on Park Street I can't remember the name of the market, but it was Madison Church Supply for many years, and now it's closed. But it wasn't really anything. It was just, you know, a couple of boat trailers in the parking lot. People who built the boats met there, and they'd sell half a dozen boats and, you know, thought it was a great time. And then they moved it into to the Dane County Forum, mm-hmm. which was an interesting space. And then they demolished that and built the Alliant Energy Center in 94, 95,
yeah,
something like that.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
And at that point, I took over the show because it was needed to be run more professionally.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just put some stuff over there and see what happens. So that just kind of grew from there. Started emphasizing more of the speakers and the educational component because I think that's super important, something I'm passionate about.
Well, talk about presentations. Holy cow, there are so many. You could spend a lot of time. I think we should probably just go back and say, first, Canucopia is March 13th through the 15th, so we'd get that out of the way, and that's right coming up. A couple more days.
Right now, there's a crew of about 20 people that are tearing the store apart and loading it into semis. So tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, we meet at the Alliant Center and start putting everything together. And we open at 4 on Friday,
and then it's the whole weekend.
And then it runs the whole weekend, yeah.
And people coming from everywhere. I want to give you a chance to join in. By the way, the number to call 1-800-642-1234. Questions. You can also go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And you can ask about Canucopia, or maybe you've just got a question about your canoe or your kayak. Certainly, Darren's always happy to talk about canoes and kayaks and paddles and everything else connected with it. So there you go. And, Jim, Gary in Boscobel has a question for you, and it's something that I bet you know a little about. Gary, thank you for calling. Hi.
Thanks, Larry. Yes, my question is, I have an old canvas-covered cedar canoe. It's made in Peshtigo, and I restored it and painted it, recanvassed it and painted it probably 30 years ago. And some of the paint is starting to flake off of the canvas, and I'm looking for information on how I go about repainting that. I'm afraid if I just paint over the old paint, it'll continue to flake off. and I don't think I can really sand it down with the canvas on there. So what would be the process of reconditioning the canvas and repainting it on that canoe?
Okay, so when you well, first of all, thank you for not putting fiberglass on it, because that would have to, yeah, don't do that ever. Anyone listening, never put fiberglass on a wood canvas boat. So when you re-canvassed it, did you used canvas, obviously, right? Did you put any?
Yes.
Did you put dope on it or some sort of filler?
Or yes. Okay. Actually, I had it re-canvassed up at the North Freedom Boat Works years ago.
Oh, cool. Okay, so they put filler on the canvas. If that's the...
They didn't. I did after I got the canoe home. Yeah.
Okay.
It
it
does have a filler on it. Yeah.
Okay. Good. If it has a filler on it, then you're fine. You can go ahead and sand it. It won't be a problem at all.
Do I need to sand all the old paint off, or just where it's flaking?
No, just feather it. You know, sand where it's flaking. Get down to where it's not flaking off anymore. That's what I do.
Okay.
Yeah, and then just repaint it with, good quality marine paint. I'm partial to Kirby paints. It's a fourth generation paint factory in Massachusetts, and they make
KIRBY.
Yeah, George Kirby paint. It's so, I mean, painting with it, you'll just notice it's wonderful. It's got really good pigment, and it's solid. It flows off the brush. It's like playing a Stradivarius paintbrush using a Guarnari paint. It's just that's a horrible metaphor, but anyway.
But
Kirby paint, George Kirby paints. Yeah. And if you call
Thank
him,
you.
George Kirby will answer the phone.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, it's cool.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And, oh, my goodness, Jeff in Madison up next. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Yes. I'm just wondering how you feel about kayaking pictured rocks up in the UP. We've done a bit, but we're going up possibly with some friends who are relative beginners. And I'm just wondering, does it stay fairly calm, and how would you judge that environment for a beginning kayaker?
Does it stay fairly calm? If I could answer that question, I'd be a stockbroker. I can't predict how the weather's going to be up there. It's Lake Superior. That said, if they're dressed properly, then, you know, it's fine. And if you're in, you know, big wide doubles with dry suits, then, you know, your risk is minimal.
Yeah.
The problem I've seen up there is large groups dressed in cotton T-shirts and blue jeans in 9-foot right. boats without spray skirts, and that makes me really nervous.
Right. But, I mean, we haven't been up there ourselves. It's all pretty open. It's not inlets as much as just open Superior.
Right. Right. Yeah. But the thing is, it just depends on the weather. And the people who live up there, I talked to Bill at Downwind Sports. He's a local. Bill's very, very knowledgeable about the area. He knows the weather patterns, and he can help you pick the time to go.
Could you compare it with Isle Royale just as far as having places where it's fairly calm in case the lake does get starts acting up?
Pictured Rocks is pretty exposed.
Okay.
Again, I talked to Bill. That guy's,
okay.
He bumps his head and forgets more about Pitchard Knox than I'll ever know.
Yeah. Great. Thanks very much.
All right. Sure. And what, Bill, Ed, where is it again?
Downwind Sports.
Downwind Sports.
In Musening, yeah. He's I would call him a very, very, very friendly competitor.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Darren Bush, our guest, talking about canoeing and kayaking and certainly about Canoecopia coming up this weekend. In Madison, it's the largest paddle sport extravaganza or exposition in the country, I think, or in the world, probably, for that matter.
Well, I haven't been to all of them, but I've never been to one that's bigger.
Okay, there we go. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We have a question from Ken. My wife says Old Town has a new solo canoe kayak hybrid. How does it compare to solo canoes and or kayaks?
She's talking about the Next, the Old Town Next. And it's an interesting story. So there's a guy named George Washington Sears, who also went by the moniker of Nesmuk. And he's a little bitty guy, and he designed boats like the Sarigamp and the Wee Lassie with Henry Rushton. And they're little sit in the bottom solo canoes. You use a double-bladed paddle and sit in the bottom, kind of like a kayak, but they're open on top. And he paddled that thing all over the Adirondacks 100 years ago. So it's the idea is old. but the execution is new. So what they did at Old Town is made a similar shaped boat. They just put a really, really good seat in it. It used to be they'd throw a cushion in the bottom and you just kind of made your way. But so they took the good idea of the sit inside, sit low solo mm-hmm. canoe without a deck on it and put a really good seat. So yeah, it's a great solution.
Oh, so and it's. So it's a combination, sort of a combination.
Right. So you don't, it's not quite as dry as a kayak because it doesn't have a deck on it. But because of that, it's lighter. So it's all a big trade-off. I really like the idea of small canoes. I paddle the Sugar River a lot just because mm-hmm. it's right down the road. And that's a steep, banked, muddy river in the spring. And getting out of a kayak on a muddy bank that's 3 feet tall is tricky. Getting out of a bank like that in a solo canoe is much easier.
And if you're, if you're maybe somebody like, I'm thinking about people in town here in Madison, for example, where we've got a river running through and some and lakes, mm-hmm. but you may be 2 or 3 blocks away, something like that might make it easier just to pack that up and carry it or whatever.
Yeah, you throw some wheels under and you can throw your bag on the top. They're also, they're easier to load and unload. So there's a lot of reasons that they work well. Solo canoes are often overlooked, and that could be 2 shows by themselves.
Yeah, and I know you've said that. I mean, the thing is, you want it to be used. And if it's too heavy or if it's whatever.
Too heavy, too tippy, too uncomfortable, yeah, you might as well not get one.
Yeah, you might as well not. Yeah. Talking with Darren Bush today, and we have lots of good questions coming up here. We have just about not quite enough time to get to Dorothy or Jacob, to be perfectly honest, but you guys hang around, will you? We're going to take a look at the news and weather and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. We've got Facebook questions from Kurt and Ken, and we'll certainly get to them as well. You can join in, too. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. And we'll be back to talk more about Canoocopia with Darren Bush. You stay with us. Thanks so much for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, talking about canoeing and kayaking and an event called Canoocopia with Darren Bush, Chief Paddling Evangelist, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. Got a great event coming up this weekend in Madison, starting Friday at 4 and running through the weekend. We'll talk with him about it and certainly answer your questions as well as we talk canoeing and kayaking with him. Join in at 800-642-1234. Jacob and Baraboo's been waiting a while, so let us go to Jacob. Thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I just had a question. I'm planning a trip down the Mississippi from Lake Itasca to the Gulf, and I was wondering if you had any recommendations on size for canoe or kayaks to be able to, I guess, for comfort as well as to carry the supplies and handle the big water of the Mississippi.
Are you going solo or tandem?
I am going solo.
Solo, okay. As big as you possibly can manage, especially when you get south of St. Louis.
Okay.
You'll need to carry water. You'll need to carry a lot because once you, the Mississippi River south of St. Louis is basically a very large ditch. It's very canalized because of the Army Corps to make it good for river traffic. So it's not exactly picturesque. And you have to get out, and a lot of my friends have done it. You get out, you walk up the dike, you look and see if there's a town, you walk back down, you paddle another mile or two and walk up and see. So it's not like it's easy to get in and out. Large is good. You want specifics, you can send me an email and I'll walk you through it. But big is good.
And just one more. Are you familiar with a Greenland-style paddle at all? I've heard that was good to use as well, and I haven't been able to find much information.
Yes, I am familiar with them. They're really nice. They're very different than a modern paddle. Some people like them a lot because of they claim that it's easier on their joints. It's a religious discussion for some people.
Mm-hmm.
I have one. I like using it. I actually have a couple of them, and I enjoy them very much. If you're doing a long-distance trip, it's something to look at, but I would get more experience with a regular kayak paddle before I switched.
All right.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck on the trip, Jacob. Thanks a lot for calling. You might want to just, there's a guy that might want to come to Canucopia and take a look at what's there.
Yeah, and probably spend some time in a boat, not on Mississippi.
Yeah, absolutely. Dorothy in Wausau, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Hello, this is Dorothy.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Good morning or afternoon to you. I have a 17-foot Old Town Hiawatha cedar and canvas canoe.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Very nice.
The paint on the canvas is crazed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not uncommon.
Yeah, I have this thing. I inherited it from my husband, who picked it up in the Northwoods somewhere in the basement of a bar.
Yeah, I heard that story too. Go on.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, you know, like, what I should do with it to make it viable, or and what it might be worth if I did that, or what should I do with this thing?
Okay, lots of things you can do. Number one is you can keep paddling it the way it is, which is fine.
I have never had it in the water.
Okay, so you can start paddling it the way it is. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, a little bit of crazing on it isn't going to change much. The other thing you can do is you can have it restored or refinished, and there's several people that do that. There's a group at Canucopia, Wooden Canoe Heritage Association, WCHA, and they've been coming for as long as I can remember, and I always donate a spot to them because I like what they do. And their mission is to promote the use and you know, restoration and repair of wood canvas canoes. They have a lot of information about that. There's a builder up in Boulder Junction, just north of you a little bit, who does restorations, Little Lakes Canoe. Little Lakes Canoe. He's very, very good. He's done a couple of boats for me personally.
Mm.
The other option is to donate it to a museum. There's several museums in the state that would probably like it. As far as what they're worth, wood canvas boats are really problematic. Mm-hmm. A Hiawatha is worth a little bit more than some because it's a little bit rarer, but for the most part, they're worth what someone's willing to pay for them. They can be very expensive depending on the model, and they can be relatively inexpensive. I have a friend who's unfortunately passing away from cancer right now, and he has a barn full of boats, and I'm kind of helping him find homes for him, and he's got three or four wood canvas canoes. And it's difficult. So it really is kind of subjective.
All right. There you go. Good luck, Dorothy. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Facebook question from Kara. I need a lightweight, stable canoe for a girl and a dog. Do you have any ideas?
How big's the dog?
Yeah.
And what kind of dog is it? Because I've got a Great Pyrenees, so I need a big boat. I think it depends on what you want to do and where you want to go and all that. But a lot of people get, the Old Town Necks we just talked about would be nice for, you know, a person and a smaller dog. But there's boats. The Winona Wilderness comes to mind. That's a really nice solo canoe. It's about 15 feet and has room for bigger dogs and bigger people, too. And then you can go to a small tandem. That's another good idea. And there's, you know, 15-foot tandems that work very, very well for carrying a dog. The one that I paddled most of the time with my lab, Gracie, was a 15-foot tandem that I just turned around and paddled it backwards with her sitting in front of me.
Yeah, why not?
No, it works great.
We had a good question. They're all good. But Kurt wonders if you have any recommendations for getting on into paddling with the younger kids. 10 and 7, I would like to try it and see if it sticks before going all out.
That is a very good idea. 7 and 10 isn't younger in my world. My kids started paddling before they could remember. It's a good idea to rent. But one of the rules I've had, and I've said it here before many times, is you give them, it's 15 minutes time number of years they've been alive. If you do it more than that, they're likely to get bored.
Mm-hmm.
So keep your trips to a couple hours at this point, and take them out of the water before they want to get out, because then they'll want to come back. If you take them out after, it's going to be a rough one. So, but pick small trips that are interesting. Try and find a way to incorporate the things that they like already. There's a big brouhaha about whether or not, you know, electronics belong in the outdoors. I think that if you let a kid take their iPhone and take pictures and Instagram them and Snapchat them, that's a great thing because it allows them to share the experience they're having with their friends, and maybe their friends will get interested. So, yeah, don't do the no electronics rule. That just doesn't work anymore.
Very good suggestions. We haven't talked at all about Canucopia, and I want to get back to talk about it. As I said, it's the world's largest paddle sports exposition, and what always amazes me is the number of presentations. Amazing number of really
150 this year. Yeah,
unbelievable. What give a range or a kind of an idea of the kinds of things?
Well, if they go to canucopia.com and click on speakers, they can see a complete list. That's the best way to do it. But in general, we have different kinds of how to's, which are kind of fun. You know, how to do this, how to do that, and we have where to go's, which is where to go to do this and that. And then we have sort of the inspirational that are just not specific to any type of activity. One of my favorite people is speaking. Her name is Bonnie Perry. She is, I can't remember the term. She's an Episcopalian minister at All Saints in Chicago, and she's in charge of the whole thing. So I don't know if that makes her an archdeacon or something like that. I'm not an Episcopalian.
She's up the line. Anyway.
She's up the line, yeah. She's also the first 5-star women's coach from the British Canoe Union in the U.S. She is an amazing paddler and an amazing person, and is speaking on sort of the spirituality aspects of paddling.
And, Very cool.
Yeah, she's awesome. And then there's people, there's the David Amy Freeman, that they paddled from the Boundary Waters to Washington, D.C. to raise awareness about the mining that's going on up there south of the Boundary Waters, which really would have an impact on it. And then there's the Aluminum Chef competition, which is one of my favorites. That's three people using camp stuff to cook, and instead of Iron Chef, it's aluminum, and it's a hoot. And people learn. You learn a lot about how to do things. One of the chef is the Joey from Rural Traveler comes and cooks, and he's not a camping guy, but he's a chef. Then we have a guy who's a camper, but not a chef, who's a good cook. It's a riot.
And somebody judges, or do they
the
judge?
Audience, they pick people from the audience to judge.
Ah, perfect.
Yep. And the food is really good.
Oh, man. So, and I know you got stand-up paddling, you have paddling for women.
Yep. Yeah, we have a wide variety. We like to show everything about everything that's paddling.
And it's, of course, you can go to canucopia.com, right? Or
yeah.
We have a link on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, too. And you can, and I should mention, let's mention, what is it, $25 for the whole weekend, I think it is, or something?
It's $15 for a day, $25 for the weekend, and 17 and under is free.
So yeah, which is really...
We try and encourage, I mean, and, you know, I had people from scout groups and 4-H groups, and, you know, people call me and it's like, can I bring my whole troop? It's like, yeah, please.
Yeah, bring them.
Well, they don't have any money. I said, I don't care. they're scouts, you know, they're kids. If they want to come, I want them to come. I want them to listen to presentations and get excited and get educated, you know.
Well, and the presentations, and of course, the equipment... Is there anything you don't have in the way of equipment?
Yeah, probably. but I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what it was either, because it's always just mind-boggling, the amount of... And then the cool thing about that is, I mean, just being able to talk to the representatives and the people who... And you've got the people there that own the companies lots of the time. And,
right. That's one of the best things about paddle sports is, with very few exceptions, the people that run the company and own the company are the ones that started it and own it. So most of the stuff in our shop is made in family-owned businesses. You know, very few exceptions. But usually the founder of the business is going to be there.
Yeah.
And the people that make them, I mean, it's not just a bunch of sales reps. They're there, but...
Yeah.
You want to talk to the guy who designed it, he's probably standing in the booth.
Yeah, that's really cool. Connie in Porterfield has a question for you. Let's go there. Connie, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Good day to you guys. I have a question. My husband has a poly-type plastic canoe that has a crack in the front bow area. And before we tossed it away, I was hoping we could salvage it if there's some way.
Absolutely. So, do you know what brand it is? Old Town?
Maybe? No. If you said it, I'd probably remember it.
Okay. Well, there's about 500
yeah,
plastic
there's a lot of them.
So if it's polyethylene, you know, plastic, and it's got a crack, you can put a skid plate on the front of it, which is basically a big Kevlar felt patch that would cover the bow of the canoe, and that would keep it from wearing away even more, and also repair the crack at the same time. But it
and
really,
where would I get something like that?
You can email our shop, and we'll send one to you. You can go on our website and get one. Not many places actually sell them. It's kind of a canoe thing.
Specialist.
Yeah, so where are you located? Porterfield?
Porterfield, yeah.
Where the heck is Porterfield? I've never heard of that before.
About an hour north of Green Bay.
Oh, okay. Awesome. You're up in Oconee County then, right?
Well, actually Marinette County.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Up by the pine and the poplar. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There we go.
Now, you're speaking my language now. Yeah, I don't know of anybody up there who would have them. But yeah, if you go on our website and look at skid plate, just
Rutabaga canoes.
Rutabaga.
All right.
Yeah,
Rutabaga canoes it is. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Dave called and wondered, couldn't hang on, but wondered if Canucopia is going to have drift boats and maybe tell people what a drift boat is and then whether or not you're going to have any.
The answer is yes. There's a company there from Wisconsin, actually, Winchester Boat Works, that makes beautiful, beautiful drift boats. And for those that don't know, drift boats have been mostly a Western thing. They originate on the big Western rivers like the Platte and the great fly fishing rivers out west in Wyoming and Montana and Nebraska. And basically they're rowed, but they're specialized just for fishing. And a lot of people are starting to bring them over into the Midwest now because they work very, very well. You know, some of the rivers up north especially,
mm-hmm.
you know, you've got big flat stretches, but then you've got a little bit of riffle and you don't want to take a standard rowboat or something like that through there. But these tend to handle whitewater, you know, moving water a little bit better. So, yeah, there's going to be a guy there making them. And they're Cadillacs, though. they're absolutely gorgeous.
All right. Well, here's another question. Somebody wanted to know about a full boat.
Full boats, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tricky. So there's a company called Full Boat that makes boats that fold up. There's a skeleton.
A fold boat.
Yeah, well, it's called Full Boat.
Okay.
But it's folding boat. So it's kind of like Kleenex, you know. There's boats that fold and there's full boats.
Yeah.
So there's several manufacturers there who make boats that are that type. There's Full Boat will be there. Alley Canoe will be there. Pack Canoe. Who else is going to be there? Then there's a new boat called Oru that'll be there that's kind of interesting. Small digression. So there's this great documentary called Between the Folds
mm-hmm.
about origami. If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's on Netflix. It's great. So the guys that make these Oru kayaks actually derive their inspiration from origami. So they make a kayak that folds up into a kayak from a little briefcase sized box. I said, this, have you seen that documentary? They said, that's where we got the inspiration for this boat. So they're really cool. And if you live in an apartment or someplace you don't have storage, you pop it out and put it together in about 10 minutes and get going.
I have seen I've seen it on Facebook.
Are they cool?
And yeah, and somebody putting them together or taking it apart.
Yeah, you know what's amazing is they actually paddle pretty well. You think they
do paddle well? Eh?
Yeah, they're all right. I mean, it's not as good as a hard shell boat because you've got the limitations with the design, but they paddle pretty well. I mean, if I lived in New York City, I'd own one.
Well, they can't weigh very much either.
No, like 30 pounds.
Yeah. It is absolutely amazing. And so there's several people going to be there.
Boats that can be made small. There's lots of people there that have boats that can be made smaller. I mean, RV people love them. You know, people that have RVs, people that have travel trailers, they can't carry it on top.
Yeah.
So put it in your trunk.
And it's literally suitcase size.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the size of a suitcase.
Oh, man. Well, we have... We're not totally out of time here yet, but you've got things at Canucopia for pretty much the whole gamut, right? From the rank amateur to
Yeah, we don't like calling them professionals. A professional is just an amateur with lots of experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the attitude that comes along with getting to that point isn't there. And that's the thing I like about paddle sports is there's very few people that would call themselves experts. Mm-hmm. They're passionate, but they're not snobby about it. So you can talk to people that have done amazing things, and you don't find out until much later that, wait, that person I just talked to circumnavigated Greenland. It's like,
what? Well, yeah.
Yeah, really? They're just normal folks that happen to do amazing things. So, yeah.
And so let's go back to the sort of the nuts and bolts here. So it starts Friday.
Yep. Friday 4 to 9, Saturday 9 to 6, and Sunday 10 to 5.
10 to 5 on Sunday. And every single day there are going to be all kinds of workshops, you might call them, or presentations.
There's 9 presentations that go on every hour on the half hour from the start of the show to the end of the show. And if you go on to the website, there's a grid that has all of them on there, plus a list of all the people who are speaking and where they're from. And, you know, we've got a lot of new people this year. A lot of people came and said, hey, I wanted to do this for a long time. I'm finally going to have a break. And there's, you know, some folks that wanted to come that couldn't because it was always the same time as the trip they went on, and they're not going this year.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, it's this wonderful serendipity. And so, yeah, there's some stuff. I get to see one a year. And it's usually in 5-minute intervals as I walk by. So please, all of you out there, take advantage of being able to see these scenes because they're really wonderful, and I can't. So
yeah, it is an amazing experience just walking through that area of that whole building, which is just jammed.
Well, it's kind of like a giant family reunion because the people that we see there, I see twice a year. I see them at Cornucopia, and I see them at a trade show usually, and it's literally like going to, for me, it's like a family reunion. I've known these people forever. A lot of these people, you know, knew my kids when they were in you know, toddlers.
Yeah.
And because there's a continuity in our industry, people tend to stick around. They love it, you know, so they're not just in and out. So even the people that started companies 25 years ago and sold them,
still come back anyway.
Well, their non-competes run out and they start new companies again.
Oh, yeah.
So they can't stay away.
Oh, man. Well, and the half of them wind up at your house at one point or another, I think.
Yeah, this year, let's see. I think I have 6 people staying with us, just half of Ontario, a bunch of our speakers. And again, it's kind of part of the culture is, you know, you come into town, it's like, yeah, you know, have a place to stay, so you can stay in my, you know, my basement. You know, and they're like, oh, okay, I'll sleep there. I mean, they'll sleep anywhere. These guys are used to sleeping underneath their boats and on the, you know, the banks of rivers. For them, you know, having a roof is a luxury. So, yeah, and then the shack behind my house, people are staying in my shack. And, you know, people are parking their travel trailers in front of my house and plugging in. So, yeah, it's fun.
Well, it's this weekend. Yeah.
Whether I like it or not.
Yeah, and you don't start on planning the next year's until Monday, isn't it?
Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah, Monday.
Monday off?
Monday I'm off. I'm going paddling Monday. I usually go to the Badfish Creek down by Cooksville because it's always open.
Yeah.
But with this weather, I'm thinking I might go over to the Wisconsin.
Oh, why not?
I have a new dry suit I need to try out.
Always a pleasure, Darren. And good luck with Cornucopia this weekend. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. And, man, if you want to know anything about canoeing or kayaking, I think you a good place to be this weekend would be in Madison for Cornucopia. Great to have him along. And again, thank you so much for listening in. There's always lots more in store. Tomorrow at 11, we'll get some great advice for spring home repair and upkeep, so looking forward to that as well. I'm Larry Mueller, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.